For the scripture reading, it comes from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 15. Simeon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus, our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. May God bless the reading of His word. It is a real high honor that your pastor has granted me in the name of Christ to stand before you this morning. And I appreciate my wife's long service, many years of service in Korea with me. She was very dedicated and very stubborn in pursuing her promise of serving the Lord as a missionary. At age 7, little child, she committed her life and never changed her mind. And that when Lord called her, she went to Korea as a missionary with me. Today's subject, from the passage that we have read, is making our calling and election sure. Making our calling and election sure. Nobody needed more of that assurance of calling and assurance of election than Peter, perhaps, because Peter was such a giant of a man. In his own right, he was a fisherman. But at the same time, when Jesus called him to follow him, he made the right decision. He made the right move. and began to follow him. Despite all his foibles and faults and failures and denials of his beloved Lord Jesus Christ, nonetheless, he did his best. And when humbled by his inability to affirm his friendship and loyalty to Jesus Christ, Jesus appeared on the shore of Galilee and reinstated him to be the first rank in the apostolic band. So we see in the life of Peter something of a real need for growth, trust, repentance, and growth again, to the point where we come to the writing of his second epistle of Peter, saying, I now know the Lord has showed me and told me that I will soon depart from this world. But before I do, I want to leave this message to you, and that is the message that I believe we have, at least one of the messages we have and the words that we have read. So the making of our calling and election sure starts with faith. As the Bible says, add to your faith or supplement your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge and so forth. And he gives a whole list of it. But the foundation, the very basic foundation to which we are to add the qualities of God's holiness and character is faith. And this faith is a saving faith. This is the faith that you cannot add or subtract or take away. It is the faith given by the Holy Spirit in our hearts by the grace of God, and it is the work of God alone in Jesus Christ. As we all know, that when we have become children of God, we were then born of the Spirit, not of the will of man, nor by the will of anything else, nor by the blood, nor by anything else, but by the Holy Spirit. And when we become regenerated in this way and become a born-again Christian, that is the work of Christ in our hearts, and that is the foundation to which we are to add various qualities that Peter speaks about. And this quality of virtue is something that we need to really emphasize on the quality of power in this concept. Originally, the word means power or excellence or highest standard of ethical life is what this word embodies. So when Jesus said, somebody touched me and power went out of me, King James Version says, virtue went out of me. And that virtue is power of the Holy Spirit that emanated from our Lord. And we are confronted with the reality of whether, as a child of God, we exercise the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Are we a powerful Christian, obedient and vibrant Christian, or are we more or less not quite deadbeat, but at least something like that? Faith with taste is worth something, but salt without taste is good for nothing. So when Peter says, add to your faith virtue, shine bright, smile big, move on by trusting in the power of God. Trusting in the power of God. I recall, as I grew up in South Korea, Under the teaching of Bruce Hunt, one of the famous American missionaries who labored in South Korea, I learned to trust the Lord and realize what power Jesus Christ was exercising in the lives of many Christians in Korea. And so I learned to trust the Lord in that passion. Trust the Lord and do something for the Lord. Powerful ministry was what was calling me to at the age of something like 18, 19. And I remember getting some friends together and began to pray regularly every week for the revival in the church and the evangelism in the city of Busan, one of the southernmost part of South Korea. And somehow the Lord enlarged our vision and zeal for evangelism and had us plan a citywide evangelism by distributing tracts. And then as a drive came to an end of that distribution of tracts, we had a big rally with a famous speaker, which brought several thousands of people at one time or another. And we saw what Christ could do when God's people exercised virtue, power on what they believed. Next quality that Peter speaks of is knowledge. Knowledge is knowledge of the Word of God. God's Word is paramount in the life of Christians. It is understanding of God's revealed truth, namely the Holy Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, we read, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Knowledge of God enables ways to encounter every situation in life. Paul is a good example of that. Paul met with all sorts of persecutions, all sorts of challenges, the trials and pitfalls in his ministry because of the opposition of the Jewish people, his own kind. And yet when Jews contradicted his message and rose against his ministry, as a result, Paul suffered a great deal. We can see what Paul went through in his ministries overseas after he was sent out as a missionary from church in Antioch. But we also know that he was sustained by the grace of God and by the power of God, because he knew his God to be faithful, because his knowledge of Jesus Christ was so firmly established that not the ocean or the Mediterranean Sea could sink him down. Nothing would let him down. He kept on going until he met his Lord through martyrdom. But a giant of a man he was, and he is a good example for all of us to stir us ourselves with. One message that we have from the Apostle Paul is that of his desire to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Paul says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that I, by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. To Paul, nothing was indispensable. Everything can go except Jesus, his Lord and Savior. And the power that he was seeking was the power of resurrection, not only in his own life, but in the lives of the people that he ministered. Also, the knowledge leads us to the knowledge of the incarnate Son of God, incarnate God, Jesus Christ. Philip came to Jesus and said, "Lord, show us the Father. It will suffice us if we know who the Father looks like." And Jesus replied, Thomas, I have been with you all this time, and you don't know me. I'm sorry, it's Philip again. I got my memory a little mixed up. Philip, I have been with you all this time, and you don't know the Father. If you have seen me, have seen the Father. It is a tremendous blessing to think about that, to think that Jesus Christ embodies fully as an incarnate Son of God, that he embodies the Father himself. In the forgiveness of Jesus, we see Father's forgiveness. In his love of the Samaritan woman, or the person caught in adultery, we see Father's capacity, Father's willingness to love and forgive and give that person a new life. In Jesus' patience, in Jesus' suffering, we see the Father's agonizing heart and suffering when his Son, Jesus, was faced with death so horrible that Jesus prayed 3 times on Gethsemane, Garden of Gethsemane, saying, "Father, take this cup away from me, if it is at all possible. It's so distressful, it's so sorrowful, it's so, so horribly painful, even think about going through the process of death in that way." And Jesus pleaded 3 times, over and over again. And yet Jesus was showing us the Father's suffering, Father's mind, Father's heart. And it is that revelation that we see the Father's heart, Father's being. So whoever has seen the Father, Son has seen the Father. We need to take time to think about that, how Jesus manifests our Heavenly Father. And you cannot go wrong 100% Next quality that we are to add to faith is self-control. It is to restrain one's emotions, impulses, or desires. And then next is adding steadfastness. Steadfastness in the original is same word translated into patience. So King James Version has add your patience to self-control. Patience is a very interesting word in the original. It comes with two parts, under and remain. So you are, if you are patient, you remain under a load or stay put under the load of something that would move you away from it. You stay put regardless of whatever weight that is upon you. That is the picture of that word. Like Greek soldiers fighting with bows and arrows, regardless of how much arrows would fly over him, he would not run away but stay under that kind of assault. That is what patience implies. That's a kind of quality that we are to add to our self-control and to Christian growth. Good part of scripture that magnifies that idea is Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance, same as patience, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. To exercise the quality of patience, we need to look to Jesus and running the race. This word race is agona. That means the same meaning, same word as meaning agony. So race is not just having fun running, but it is a struggling. It's a race with great deal of power and determination and struggling. That is the race that word implies. We are to exercise our patience, looking unto Jesus, and run our race. The next is brotherly kindness. Add, before brotherly kindness, there is godliness. Now, this quality of godliness is an inner response to the things of God which shows itself godly or pious. We need to cultivate that in content, not in form and appearance. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, we read, having the appearance of godliness, but not denying its power. Avoid such people. After that, we are to add brotherly kindness. That's a word as the same as Philadelphia. Now, Philadelphia comes with two parts as well. Phila means love, and Adelpho means brother. So it's a loving of brother coming from the same womb. Same womb of the Holy Spirit are we born into God's family. Therefore, when we consider our brothers in Christ, in church, we need to have that concept that these are God's people born of the same Holy Spirit, same Father, same Savior. So we have high regard, affectionate regard for these brothers and sisters in Christ. And finally, there is this quality of love, agape. You have heard of that. There are three kinds of love in Greek literature. One is erotic love, another is brotherly love, and last of all, agape love. Now, brotherly love is more like reciprocal love, giving, take. If you love, the other person loves back to you. That's sort of the idea. But this last word, agape, is a love that expects no returns, no compensation, no appreciation, no thank yous. You simply give. That is the kind of attitude that Apostle Paul had when he said, the love of God constrains me. I can do no otherwise. I have to preach the gospel and go out and even necessary die for the gospel. That's the love of God. That's the love of God driving every people of God everywhere. I met a missionary in Turkana, Kenya, years ago. Turkana is a part of Kenya that is, they say, a God-forsaken part of the world. It's so hot, 140 degrees Fahrenheit. Can you imagine living under 140 degrees Fahrenheit? And literally, eggs will boil under the sun. And I had the privilege of going up there in a single plane, missionary plane, and landing on this, what is called the God forsaken land, and there was a British medical missionary and his family with the little children inviting us for a time of refreshment after we came out of the plane. And this medical doctor, very young looking doctor, giving us glass of water over and over again. No sooner I finished one cup, he would give another cup, saying, drink, drink, drink. Because unless you drink the water, you will dry up. So I was afraid that I should dry up. So I kept drinking water, so did other people. And I kept thinking to myself, what in the world did this man come this far with his young family to serve the Lord? What made him do that? Because I know doctors make big money, doctors are respected, doctors have every opportunity to serve the Lord they wish to elsewhere in a more favorable environment. But here he was, and I was deeply touched by this man. And so I kept asking to myself, what in the world made this man to come this far? And only thing that flickered my mind was his love for the Lord. How great the love of God in his life must have been that led him and his family to track and come that far. And you get to meet people like that on the mission field, especially Western missionaries, because these are the ones that have pioneered the work in Kenya and elsewhere. So when we were in the business of training Korean missionaries, we had to tell Koreans, you are going to the mission field like John come lately. You are no first primary pioneers. Pioneers have already done the hard work, and these pioneers and their descendants are there on the field, and these are missionaries from Western world, America, Australia, Canada, Ireland, British Isles, and so forth. So we had to tell them that. So here we met some of the real ones, like a medical doctor. Another thing that I would like to share with you is about this tall lady, very fine-looking tall lady from Holland. And she was a nurse, and she was to lead us into one of the huts of Maasai people, away from Turkana now. And Maasai people live in huts, small little huts, with a small little door. And when you go in there, you had to really stoop down. And I am short, and I didn't have to stoop down very low, but this lady had to stoop down very, very low. And I said, oh, you really have to stoop down low, low, low. to reach these needy people. And she didn't mind. She could lower herself down as low as it required. She was determined to do that. Great people you meet. So love of God makes that. What are the results of such life and such ministry? It is the entrance into the kingdom of God. The Bible promises that if you do these things, if you see in your life something of the vibrant character of your life being such, then you will have no problem going into the eternal kingdom. So Peter learned that, and Peter wanted to share that with you and with his people. May God bless. Shall we pray? May I have a prayer? Dear gracious Lord, thank you that you have taught us much through your word over all our lives. May we remind ourselves of this truth this day. May you bless as we partake of your bread and the cup. In Christ's name, our Lord, amen.